You're listening to the Kingdom Reformation Podcast with Glenn Bleakney, equipping the church for revival, reformation, and kingdom impact worldwide.
How many of us have actually, you know, felt like at times we're just trying to figure out what God's will is? What does he want of us? Like, what's next? And we kind of like, I'm just doing the same old, going around the mountain again. What's your will? What do you want? And we second guess ourselves at times. Am I even doing what God's wanting me to do? Am I in the right place? Am I with the right people? And there's so many other questions that we can ask ourselves about that. And those are good questions. And we should understand the answer to those questions, because we can certainly be out of God's will, or at least in a place where God's trying to speak to us and move us into something new. And we have to understand that. We have to be able to discern what he's saying and in his seasons. We have to have an understanding of the times, of those Kairos times that we're in as well. It's very, very important. But one of the things that I want to point out is that if you're living that way constantly, that's exhausting. That's sustainable. And can I tell you, that's not God's will. Yeah. It's not his will. He wants you to understand that he never intended for you to live that way. It's not his plan. Now, we're going to dive into three passages of scripture that are going to really unlock quite a bit of understanding to us. And these are all in reference to what Jesus said. They're from the Gospels. We're going to look at John chapter 5, verses 19 through 20 initially. And then we're going to go into John 12 and then John 15. So all of this is from the Gospel of John. Okay, John 5, 19 and 20. This is Jesus speaking. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Father, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father, watch this, this is verse 20. For the Father loves the Son, watch this, and shows him all things that he himself does. The Father loves the Son and shows him what? All things that he himself does. Okay, extraordinary. Jesus isn't just obeying commandments, he's watching the Father. He's seeing what the Father does. Okay, and he's responding, he's replicating on earth what he sees the Father doing in heaven, right? Okay, jump over to John 12, 49. And the NLT on this one, because this verse in certain translations really doesn't bring us, you know, the full gist of what he's trying to say. Okay, Jesus says this, "For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it." Watch that. I didn't speak of my own accord. In other words, I spoke what? The words of the Father, correct? But notice this. In this translation, the NLT, it actually says, the Father commanded me what to say and what? How to say it. Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, that's good.
You can say the right thing the wrong way. Yeah? You can use a prophetic gift, and if you don't use it the right way, you can do more damage than good.
Yeah.
Do you know the Bible actually says in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said to the church, your meetings do more harm than good. Lock the doors. You guys are better off not meeting. You're doing more harm than good. Whoa. That's full on. But that's what the Apostle Paul said. So we have to recognize here that it's not just the what, it's the how. It's not just the text, but it's the tone and the timing. Thank you for allowing me to alliterate. So this is something that we have to really understand. When Jesus was on the earth, it's not just what he said, but it's when he said it and how he said it. Critical. All right, so this is very, very, very important. All right, let's jump down to John 15. Now, Jesus, later in his ministry, shares something that changes everything. Okay? John 15, verse 15. No longer do I call you servants. It's the Greek word doulos, which means slaves. Okay, it's not diakonia, that's another Greek word which means to serve, but it's a very strong term. It's doulos in Greek, it means a slave. Okay, I don't call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master's doing, but I've called you friends. Now watch this. For all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Okay. So the Father loves me and shows me all things. Now, all things the Father has revealed to me, I've made known to you. Full disclosure, complete transparency, all things is made known to us. So this is something powerful. Just as the Father showed Jesus all things, Jesus is making known all things to his disciples. Just as he saw what the Father was doing, now he's inviting his disciples into that same kind of knowing. Yes. Now, here's the key insight. Okay, watch this. These disciples, he says, I no longer call you slaves. Okay. What he's saying, though, is he's not trying to say you don't serve anymore. Okay? That's not it. We tend to have these, what I say, aversions towards certain biblical terms. Like we say, I'm not a slave. According to the Bible, we are. Yeah. We are doulos. Paul called himself over and over God again, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, a doulos or a slave of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we are, oh, no, it's not me. I'm a friend. I'm a son. And we, and look, guys, we're both. Can I just say that? We're all of the above. So we serve, but we serve out of a place of sonship and friendship. These are all different words. Just like the church is the bride of Christ. The church is what? The body of Christ. The church is a spiritual hospital for people to be healed, and we're also an army to advance the kingdom. So we're all of the above. We can't just pick and choose and like cherry pick what part we like and what we don't. No, we're called to do all of these things. But if we come from a place of just servitude, if we come from a place of being a slave, then that's not what Jesus intended for our lives. So we still serve, but now we serve as friends. Now, what's the difference? One translation says very clearly in John 15:15, he says this, that a slave is not privy to his master's affairs. So you don't, as a person, you don't share everything with everyone, do you? There's certain things that you keep between maybe you and God, but then there's other things that only those who are closest to you, you would share that with them. So God is saying there's a place of intimacy where he wants to share with us his deepest secrets and revelation. Now watch this. We serve not as slaves who just mechanically and like in this robotic sense just do what we're told to do. But we serve from a place of becoming a son, a daughter, a friend, who understands the heart of the master and what he's doing. We know his purposes, we know his motives, and we actually begin to think like him. Now, I'm going to show you this because it's scientifically validated too. Here's the truth. We can serve from a place of compulsion or obligation, right? How many have ever had teenagers? Clean your room, kids, clean your room, right? They don't want to clean their room, but you just tell them, clean your room. Sometimes maybe they're asked, why do I need to do that? Why? Because I told you so, because I'm telling you so. Don't ask so many questions, just do what I've called you to do. And that is certainly true, but God wants us to go to a deeper place. Because the Bible actually says this. Are you ready? In Isaiah 1:19, it says, those who are willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. Those who are willing and obedient, the King James says, eat the fat of the land. And so Yeah, that's why keto's great and carnivore's good. Fat, right? So avocados are fat, I get it. No, well, no. But the point is, those who are what? Willing and obedient.
Yeah, it's good.
So we have to come from a place of willingness.
Yes.
Because the reality is, if we don't know his heart, we'll never understand his mind. We'll always second guess. We won't be able to discern how God is moving and what he's up to. But there are patterns, there are cycles, there are ways that God moves. And those who know him and know his heart actually recognize and synchronize their hearts with his. Can I tell you this? There's something that's actually called heart synchrony in medical science. And can I tell you the backstory behind this?
Yes.
Do you want to, like, a sneak peek into what happens with me and the Lord?
Yes.
Okay. So God speaks to me and he says, you need to look that up in the Greek. You need to check that in the Hebrew. You need to, right? And so I do it and I go, whoa, that's amazing, right? Because there's times when I go, oh, that just means this. I don't know the meaning of every single Hebrew or Greek word in the Bible. So I have to look it up. All right, that's something. But then there's times when God actually speaks to me and he says, this is actually something that happens with humans. That happened today. Lord, a person who is what? Like David, a man after your own heart. Now, let me share with you the meaning there of that word, after God's heart. It doesn't mean to pursue. There are those who will tell you, and I've heard it preached many times, we have to be after God's heart. We have to be pursuing after God's heart, right? But guess what? That might preach well, but it's not what the Bible means. Sorry. We need to know the word. We can preach something that is biblical, but we use the wrong text to be able to try to substantiate it. It's not what it means. It's not talking about pursuit. It's talking about possessing. So the idea is this. When we have someone who's after God's heart, it literally means that we're in alignment with his heart. Not that we're pursuing his heart. We actually have his heart. We possess his heart. David had the heart of God. David wasn't perfect. The Lord's not looking for perfection. He's looking for subjection. He's looking for people that come under his lordship who would do all of his will, not under compulsion, but out of a place of great joy and willingness, just like the son who said, I delight to do your will. It is written in the volume of the book. Behold, I send my messenger who delights to do all my will. He loves. We delight. That's the heart.
Yes.
And so the message puts it this way. Acts 13:22. I've searched the land and found this David, son of Jesse. He's a man whose heart beats to my heart. A man who will do what I tell him. Okay, so the Lord speaks to me this morning and he says, Glenn, you need to look this up because there's something that actually happens to friends and to a couple who are in a place of deep intimacy where their hearts actually sync up. Physiologically, it happens. Now, let me tell you what I found out in my research this morning, okay? David's heart beats to God's heart, correct? So that's the image. That's the reality. But here's what happens. Two hearts beat together in sync, in harmony, in alignment is actually something that has been medically documented. When someone feels safe, when they feel welcomed, and there's a sense of, we'll call it oneness, their hearts actually sync up. And it's not like a metronome. It's not that your heart beats identically, but it literally means that you're harmonizing. There's a harmonizing that takes place, And they've proven scientifically when someone is so close. And remember, the Bible says that when you're married, you become one flesh with that person. We're one spirit with the Lord, but we're one flesh. And it means more than just the physical act. It's saying there's an identity thing. There's a oneness thing. There's a sense in which we come together. And they've actually done these studies and found out when a couple is that close and intimate, that their hearts slow down. When the one person's heart slows down, the other's slows down. When it speeds up, the other speeds up. Crazy. So we are called to have that heart with the Father, right? Because 1 Corinthians 6:20 says what? We're one flesh, but in the Lord, we're one spirit. We're joined to the Lord and we become one spirit. A man after my own heart who will do my will. So the Father shows Jesus all things. Jesus sees what the Father's doing and Jesus replicates it on the earth. Not only what he says, but how he says it. And then he passes that on to us and reveals to us all things. So what does that mean? All things in the original languages means all things. Like no thing, nothing means no thing. Yes. So everything means everything. So it literally means he shows us everything.
Yeah.
Now, do we have the capacity to take it all in? Perhaps not. But the more we get in the spirit, just watch this. The more we're in the spirit, the more we can host this, the more capacity we have. Because the carnal mind is at an enmity with God. Romans 8:8. It can't submit to God. It can't be at peace with God, the carnal mind. But when we're in the spirit, then this changes everything. We begin to discern not only what God's thinking, but we understand his heart. Okay? Not only what he's doing, but why he's doing it. So David wasn't just a man who obeyed God's command. He was a man who possessed God's heart. And because he had God's heart, he naturally knew God's mind. Because his heart was aligned with God's heart, he could discern God's will. What's that look like practically? He's like, I don't want you to be in the dark. I don't want you to be confused. I want to reveal to you what I'm doing. One of the things that we have failed to embrace as Christians is the fact that God's leading us. We just kind of think like God's left us and he's saying, oh God, would you lead me? Would you take me? Would you direct me? The fact of the matter is the Bible says he's already leading us. We're on a journey. And he's moving us forward. Think of Joseph. Sometimes we may not like the journey. We might not necessarily see God in the journey because if we're trying to look at things intellectually and analyze and critique it, it doesn't make any sense. Why would God bring me through this? And he wants to say to us, oh, trust me in the journey. Know my heart that I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never do anything to harm you. So everything that you're going through in life, when you're being led by me and you're submitted to me, is actually going to result in a greater level of glory and being conformed to my image and likeness and fulfilling my purpose. So Jesus models perfect obedience from a willing spirit. By the way, when he says that you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, it's the Hebrew word good, tov, right? And tov, T-O-V, is the word that when God created everything, he went, it is what? Good, right? But it doesn't mean it's like, oh, that's really amazing. That's very impressive. That's beautiful. No. The word actually means that something that is complete alignment with his intended purpose of creation, and it has the idea of the shalom of God. It carries the idea of completion, of wholeness, and experiencing the fullness of what God wants. So shalom meaning nothing missing, nothing broken. So if you're willing and obedient, you will experience the good, the tough of God. The goodness of God, nothing missing, nothing broken. You'll live out his intended purpose for your life and you'll fulfill exactly what he's designed and created you for. You'll experience it. If you're willing and obedient. Yes. Willing and obedient. Sometimes we need to pray, God, I'm willing, make me willing. Philippians says, God works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. The NLT says that God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Wow. Yeah. He's working in us, giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Yes. Willing and obedient. That's awesome. God is doing amazing things. It's never robotic obedience. He's after the heart behind it. Yeah. Now, there's a lot more we could say about this, but let me just say that true obedience isn't about performance. It's about partnership. When your heart says yes and your actions follow, you're no longer striving for blessing. You're living from it. Okay? Now, dare I go here? Do it. You guys ready? Let's take a deep dive. The fact of the matter is, we can live at a place where we're not offended. We can live at a place where we're not confused. We can live at a place where we're at perfect peace all the time. Now, does God disclose everything all at once? No. But he does promise to disclose what we need to know when we need to know it.
Yeah, that's good.
And we live from a place that our heart is synced with his. Our heart beats perfectly in alignment with his heart. And we minister out of a place where we reveal the heart of the Father. That changes everything. Religion is comply, conform, do this. But the heart of the Father is come. Let me change you.
Yes.
Know me. Yeah. See, Solomon prayed something so powerful. Mm-hmm. And this works in the marketplace. It works in the school. It works in church. It works in your family. Do you know what Solomon prayed in 1 Kings 3:9? He said, Lord, I'm not asking you for wealth. I'm not asking you for power, prestige, influence. Just asking you for one thing, wisdom, to govern your people, right?
Yes.
But in the original language, he actually said this, I'm asking you for a hearing heart, a listening heart.
Yes.
What does it mean? What Solomon actually was saying is he lived from a place where his heart was in sync with God's. So he understood God, his motives, his ways, his wisdom. He understood and he lived from a place of a hearing heart. Like Jesus, I only do those things I see my Father doing. I only speak those things my Father's speaking. And I not only say it what he wants me to say, but how he wants me to say it. Let me share two testimonies and I'll stop. We were in America, in Florida. We used to travel internationally. Some of you guys know that. Went all over the world, went all over America. And literally while we were there, we lived in Florida in the United States. We went to this one church and were ministering there. And this couple came in from Southeast Asia. In fact, they're originally from Pakistan. And they walked in and the man, he introduced himself to me. His wife didn't speak English at all. So we're worshiping the Lord, and I look at them, and I had a vision. And the vision, I saw this man and his wife walking through a suburban neighborhood in the United States, And the man was actually leading the way. And I could see in this vision, this all happened in a nanosecond. I could see in the vision that Jesus was walking with the man. And his wife was behind. And she was intentionally not wanting to walk with them. She didn't want to engage. She was trying to keep her distance. She was very upset. She was angry. And Jesus, in the vision, was engaged in conversation with the husband. They would talk. But every so often, Jesus would look back and he was concerned because she was back there and she wasn't part of the conversation. And so he literally would say, "Come." And she actually was resistant. And he would smile at her. And then eventually it happened again. It repeated itself. "Come." And no. And at that point, she was not even just walking slowly, lagging behind. She actually stopped. It's like she dug in her heels. "I'm not going anywhere. Go ahead." At that point, that was where the vision ended. So I didn't share it right away. I waited. I actually got up. I preached. And at the end of the message, I called them out. And I shared that vision. I said, "This is what I saw." And so he interpreted what had happened to his wife. And she began to weep and break down. And what it was, the Lord told me, was this. Is that she doesn't want to be in America. She doesn't want to be here. She's angry with God. She's resisting God's will. But Jesus actually was saying to her, "If you will just comply and submit to me and trust me, it will go really well." She's crying at this point and she's shaking her head and she's admitting it's true. And through interpreter, she says this. She said, "We had to leave our homeland because we were persecuted. Our lives were literally threatened and we had to quickly leave." And they ended up in Europe for a season, for about a year. And then they ended up having asylum in America and were able to come and settle in the United States. But she absolutely hated it in America. She didn't want to be there. She wanted to go back to her country, to her people, to her family. She despised it. She was angry with God. And I said, the Lord said, "Tell her, trust me, it's going to go well. Why are you resisting? You don't know my heart, daughter. You're just looking at things based on mere appearance. You don't know my heart."
Mm-hmm. Come on.
She came to a place where she surrendered that to the Lord. A year or so later, maybe even longer, that pastor reached out to me. They had since relocated to California. And he told me the story. He said, "We're in a place now where my wife is so happy. We're prospering. We're blessed. Our family is settled in, our kids." He said, "Because of that word and what God did, it was a turning point in my wife's life and it set her free and released her to trust Jesus." Another story. This one is happened in Australia. So I was somewhere. And I saw this young Asian lady, and I had a word from her. It was crazy. So I see her, and the word is simply this: "Your family is not approving of what you've decided to do." So she's actually enrolled herself in like a school of ministry, and she's going on this journey of being discipled by the Lord and taking time off. And her family is not at all happy with her and not approving of her. It's like, that's a waste of time. You need to be active. You need to be doing things. You need to be making money or whatever. Taking a year off or 2 years or whatever is just rubbish. It's useless. It's wasteful. And so I share that. I said, "This is exactly what your family's saying." And she started, poof, the tears, woof. And I said to her, "Is that true?" in front of everyone. And she goes, "That is so true. It is so true." And she's shaking her head. Exactly. Her family was saying all that to her. And then I had a vision. And the vision revealed the heart of the Father. The vision was simply this. I saw, and I literally acted this vision out. I walked up to her, and I put my arm around her, and I said, this is what the Father's doing right now. He's saying, daughter, you're mine. I'm calling you into me. I'm going to do a profound work in your life. I'm going to change you and transform you. And those people who are coming against you, those people that don't understand what I'm doing, they need to understand they're not coming against you. They're coming against me and my will and purpose for your life. And they need to back off. And that's how direct the Lord was. And I felt his heart and his passion for her and his deep love and jealousy to call her. And he was also, I felt his anger for what they were trying to do. Her own family. That's the difference from ministering from a place where your heart is synced with the heart of the Father and just doing ministry. Guys, can say the right thing in the wrong spirit. We can miss the timing of God. We can actually have the wrong tone, the wrong heart, and do more damage than good. Not just what we do, how we do it. Not just what we do, how we do it. Yeah? Moses, God called him to be the deliverer of Israel. So he goes and kills someone. Right? And he thinks, hey, it says in Acts 7, when you read the account in Acts 7, it says that he reasoned, surely they'll know that God has sent me to be their deliverer. Well, it backfired. Children of Israel are like, you're going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian? And the truth is, God's will has to be done God's way.
Yeah.
Has to be done in his way. Has to be done with his heart as well. And I believe that what's going to bring this generation back to God and break through things is when they encounter the heart of the Father. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he was on the earth for 3.5 years. He revealed the heart of the Father to a generation. They saw it. He was moved with compassion, fed them. He was moved with compassion. He healed the sick. He was moved with compassion. He taught them many things. 3 times it says that. Yeah. But it all came from a heart of compassion. Yes. See, this is what happens when we move simply from servitude, being obedient, to coming to a place of having the heart of God where obedience isn't forced, it flows. It's not reluctant, it's willing, it's not compliance, it's partnership. We're not serving God to earn his favor. We're not serving God because, you know, we're trying to impress other people or we're trying to manipulate or project things on people. Come on now. Ministry can be very toxic. People prophesy out of a place of manipulation, brokenness, other things. It's not the heart of the Father at all. But we're doing it because God has given us his heart and we understand his purposes and what he wants and we minister out of that. So that's when we begin to taste the goodness of the land, the shalom of God, when heaven responds to the alignment of our heart and our actions. And out of that place where we know, like I remember, can I just be transparent? I'll take this out of the video, but Lynn won't mind me saying this. It's about our daughter, okay? There is a time when our daughter was rebellious, running from God, and she didn't like me because of what I represented as a man of God. One day, we're driving down the freeway in Toronto, Canada, and she looks at me, and she says, I don't really care what you think about me. And you don't really mean anything to me. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, she cares so much about what you think about her. Because in that moment, I could have reacted like, who do you think you are? you know, I wouldn't have said, I would have said something nice, but it still would have been like out of a place of woundedness, right? Out of a place of disappointment. And the Lord said to me, no, she respects you so much and she looks up to you so much. That's why she's angry, because she knows she's disappointed you. Guess what happened? Teflon anointing just bounced off me. I didn't take it personally, right? I just smiled and realized, okay, it's her. Didn't take it personally. And we live from a place where we know we have pleased the Father. And if we please the Father, we're going to treat his kids right. Can I say that?
Yes.
Yeah? We're going to treat people like in a way that, now I don't care who, what they experience wherever they go, but the true difference is this. When they come around us, they're going to see a love that is not out there in the world. It's an unconditional love. It's a love that's not selfish. It's not. It's a love that's like, I just want to be a blessing to you, and God loves you so much, and he wants to turn your life around, and he wants to do so much in you and make you whole and reveal himself to you. And it's a love, so from a place of wholeness, from a place where we know the heart of the Father. Now, we know his mind. We know what he thinks. We know his affections. We know how he moves, how he works. And we are in a place where we're just like, it's good. I've seen God do this before. I know what he's going to do. There's times when we can actually predict his next move. Because we're not, because it's some type of pattern, because he always does things differently. But it's because I know his heart. I know what he's going to do. Because the Bible says this in Galatians 6, faith works by love.
Yeah.
Faith works by love. What does that mean? It means this. When you see someone and you know there's a place of brokenness in their life, you know they need a miracle, you know that when you minister to them, when you speak to them, that something's going to happen, because you know that God moves on that. He's literally in a place where he's going to do something supernatural. So we expect healing. We expect a person to encounter God's presence and power. We expect something to happen, because we know what? God, he's love.
Yes.
He takes care of us. Yes. He's interested in us. He wants to heal. He wants to save. He wants to restore. He wants to do these things. And so when I pray with a sense of expectation and hope. And I know, because his heart is my heart. My heart is in sync with his heart, and I know exactly how he moves, how he acts,
amen,
and what he intends.
Amen.
And I hear him say this. Yeah, we were in a revival. We've been in 4 or 5 revivals throughout the years where God broke out and extended it for a year, 2 years, meetings. It was on the media. Thousands of people were showing up all in America. And every time we were there, you know, it was amazing. I'd always learn something new. But one night I remember there was a man sitting in the church, and he had been coming. His wife and his son were Christians. His son had got supernaturally healed at the meeting. It was so powerful what happened to him. He was healed. And the father, he just showed up, but he was like, I don't know about this stuff. And I saw him one Sunday, and I see someone in the church walk over to him and start talking with him during worship. And I know what they're doing. They're trying to actually get him to accept Jesus. Pray this prayer. Make Jesus your Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he says this. He's not ready. They need to stop what they're doing right now. And I tried to go over there and talk to them, and they just pushed me aside basically and said, oh, I know what I'm doing. God's told me to do this. Guess what happened? The man actually looked at them, and he shook his head, and he said, I'm not ready.
Yeah.
I could read his lips. I don't know why the Holy Spirit let me, but I could read his lips. I'm not ready. And guess what happened? He'd been coming to church every week, faithfully, week after week. And at that point, he stopped coming because he felt pressured and pushed and manipulated. And Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. There has to be a wooing, guys. It's not our job to save people. It's our job to love. It's our job to minister. It's our job to show his heart and reveal that and watch what God does. Can I, another disclaimer here? Okay. Honestly, guys, It's not our job to change anyone.
Yes.
Hello? If we tried to change them, trust me, it wouldn't be that good. We create them after our image. But the fact is, that's not our role either. Love. Show them the heart of the Father. Represent the Father. Here's who he is. This is what he says. What do you think? He wants you to make him your Father. He wants to forgive you. He wants to save you. He wants to do all these amazing things. What do you think? And most people, when they really encounter him, go, yeah, I want that. It's not necessarily the first time, but something changes. Something happens. So if we're going to be the people that God's created us to be, we're going to have to be a people who are after his own heart. We know his heart. Come on now. Yeah. Showing it. So many people have had bad church experiences. Hello, me too. You think that it's only the people in the congregation? Oh, hello, try pastoring. I got lots of scars from sheep bites. Yeah. Sheep bites all over. Not want to show anybody, but it's one here, one there. Nasty old sheep bites. Yeah. But seriously, guys, unfortunately, we're dealing with broken people, and we have to love, we have to forgive. But what's going to change people is loving them.
Yeah, that's good.
Not being passive aggressive, ignoring them if they say something to us or something happens. What do? A lot of times we just push them aside, ignore them, and they'll go away. Yeah? Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and doesn't know where to find them. Leave them alone. They'll go home. Yeah, leave them alone. They're troublemakers. They don't get... I remember preaching in a French-speaking community in Canada one time, and the pastor kept warning me, and we had a revival breakout. It was crazy. And the pastor kept warning me. He said, there's this woman who comes into the church every so often. She hasn't been here for months. And he said, and whenever she comes, she just causes trouble. She just stirs up trouble. She says things. She does things. And it's just terrible. He said, it's just terrible. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't say anything. And then one night, he taps me on the shoulder. The Spirit of God is moving. And he points to the back and he goes, there she is. She just walked in the back door. She walked in the back door and he's like, great. Trouble. In the flesh. And Lynn and I call them VDPs, very draining people. And we let you in on our secret, so we won't, there's nobody VDP here. They won't let. So those type of people, honestly, who are what? They're hard, they're difficult. Yeah. But then, you know what happened that night? Holy Spirit said, he spoke to me. And I was like, no way, devil, you're not going to cause any trouble here tonight. You're not going to do it. No, it's not going to happen. And I'm thinking like, we're going to fight. We're going to, in the name of Jesus, we bind that Jezebel spirit. And I'm thinking like that, right? And you know what the Holy Spirit says to me? He says, son, she's broken.
Yes.
She's been assaulted.
Yes.
And because of that, she's broken.
Right.
I said to the pastor's wife, I said, I'm going to go and chat with her. And she says, yes. So we say my French isn't as fluent as needed to be. So she interpreted and she said to her, Pastor Glenn is saying he knows this has happened to your life. The Lord showed him Jesus loves you and he wants to heal you and set you free tonight. She looked, tears immediately, shook her head, and she said, it happened to me 2 times. That night, we prayed for her. God delivered her and set her free. She came back the next night, face glowing with the Spirit of God, glowing, joy. And we prayed for her and she was physically healed that night and baptized in the Holy Spirit, laying on the floor, speaking in tongues. And it was just because the heart of the Father was revealed. Everyone else said, keep away your trouble. We tried, you won't listen. And the Lord said, I've got a solution. He's the great solutionary.
Right. Yeah.
He's a great solutionary. He knows how to break through people's hardness. He knows how to heal people. He knows how to do it.